President and General Manager of the Toronto Raptors, Brian Colangelo, joining us here.
Guy who made the pick.
Could not have said it better myself. You always have to look back and say just exactly how did things work out. But, you know, the quick analysis is always a little bit unfair for the young men that are picked. And, you know, the analysis is what it is. We feel very comfortable that we made the best possible pick for this franchise. It's a short-term and long-term decision. Short-term, we get a little more flexibility as we build this roster. Long-term, we're getting the best possible player that fills not only a need, but from a talent perspective, you know, he was the right guy for us. And we've gotten great feedback from people around the league, a lot of personnel guys, GM types.
We've seen some media feedback, too, Brian, Sports Illustrated, Adrian Wojnarowski, who is, you know, pretty plugged in and well-respected. I guess my question would be, and you talked about it, popular sentiment and – the instant gratification. And look, I'm looking at you right here, and I'll tell you, took a lot of guts to make a pick that is good in the short term and the long term when you don't know if you're exactly going to be here in the long term. Like, you did sign a deal that's a couple years, but, you know, you're looking ahead for the good of the franchise rather than the good of maybe Brian Colangelo.
Yeah, I can't worry about that. I worry about making the right decisions for this franchise and the fans that are going to watch us win basketball games over the next few years. We've made a conscious decision to obviously address a glaring need. The five position, fives don't come along that often, especially long, athletic, talented ones. And you know, here's a young man that has a bright future. That's going to be a bright future in Toronto for Jonas. But you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Right now, it's only conjecture. It's only, you know, ratings and grades, and different people will say different things. We do know that the analytics aspect of things, people that pay attention to those metrics, are very excited about this. You know, we think the numbers jump off the page in terms of what his projections are on an NBA level. So, you know, we've got a nice body of work to judge that on as well. You know, there were a couple of unknowns in this draft. Enes Kanter, who went, obviously, before. And Bismack Biyombo, who we were also considering quite highly.
I thought he might have been your man, but as you and Dwayne both said, you felt Jonas was on the same curve a little bit farther along. Yeah.
My point there, though, was, you know, they played so few minutes at a competitive level, at the level that, say, Jonas has, that, you know, comparing those numbers was really an apples-to-oranges comparison. But when you compare Jonas to some of the other things that we've looked at, by way of example, you know, I don't want to, you know, necessarily kill any one particular player, but, you know, Jonas's numbers against, say, some of the other EuroLeague players, and we're not just looking at current statistics and what the current pool of players is. We look back at some of the other players that have gone through that same kind of system, what their numbers ultimately resulted in terms of NBA performance, and his numbers fare very well. Rebounding, blocking shots, and getting to the free throw line and making free throws is going to be, you know, his three greatest attributes that project out well for him playing the five position in this league.
Speaking with Raptors president and general manager Brian Colangelo. Brian, I'm going to ask almost the identical question I just did to Dwayne Casey 10 minutes ago. You addressed down in your press conference some of the criticism that's already existed, and it's predominantly coming from fans that respectfully may not really know anything about the guy's game. They're automatically just saying, it's a Euro, I don't want another European, I don't want a European big man. What do you say to that, to the folks that say, okay, Radojevic, Arujo, even Bargnani that hasn't lived up to some of the potential?
Oh, you're off base right there. You know,
those
to say
my,
that
those
Radojevic and Arujo.
That's where the fan base is.
Let's talk about Bargnani for a second, okay? He's an enigma, there's no doubt about it. He's weak defensively, we've talked about that. He needs to get better at rebounding, we've talked about that. But to put him in the same sentence with those two, you got to be kidding me.
That's
not my
words.
Hold on.
That's what
let me keep
I'm
going
telling
here.
You that's what the fan base is saying right now based on 3 hours online talking to these folks.
Okay, so no problem. We'll wait and see how it all plays out. But you can't make that judgment based on that. The popular picks would have been maybe a Brandon Knight, maybe a Kemba Walker. That's not the right pick for this franchise right now. They're going to be good pros. There's no doubt about it. And they project out well in our draft pool. Unfortunately, you know, there was another player there, and I think it's fortunate for us that we made the right pick today. But, you know, let's not pass judgment today. You know, people will react. It's happened before. There's been other situations. You know, I sat in the draft room 1 year in front of 18,000 people in Phoenix, and Dan Marley was selected, I think, with the 14th pick. Everybody booed. Cotton Fitzsimmons came out and said, you're going to regret the day that you booed Dan Marley. And you know what? He's one of the most popular players that ever put a Phoenix Suns uniform on because he played hard. He did what he needed to do. He was very, you know, he was great with people. He was great in the community, but he was great on the basketball floor. Wayne Embry told me a story today. Kevin Johnson, another great Phoenix Sun player, but unfortunately, you know, he was drafted by Cleveland, got booed. You know, got booed. How do you boo a guy? He was picked seventh, I think, overall that year. This guy had a Hall of Fame career, you know, 20 and 10 or 20 and 9, whatever it was, almost a double-double. The bottom line is, you know, fans are obviously entitled to react whatever they want, whichever way they want, and we respect that. And obviously, we're here to win basketball games. And no matter, you know, how we get there, we're going to try to get there and make the right decisions. But you can't necessarily be swayed by what the blogging community or the online community, or you cannot do that. You can't let others dictate how the business is run.
Well, the same thing happened in Toronto with Damon Stoudemire.
Right.
I mean, people booed the
selection. Booed. They wanted Ed O'Bannon.
And they were chanting for Ed O'Bannon's name.
I would say he had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
And Ed might not have. So I got booed when I picked Sean Marion instead of Corey Maggette. And for a long while there, Sean Marion was the better pick. But, you know, it wasn't a popular pick because he didn't go to Duke. He went to UNLV and nobody knew who he was. So at the same time, look, this is year after year after year. People get booed. People react differently. Sometimes it's the media even making, you know, comments. You know, I can't worry about that. I've got to worry about making the right basketball decisions. We really don't care where they come from. If they fit, you know, we look for talent. We look for character. And we're looking for, you know, the best possible fit for the franchise. And skill level is definitely something that he's not shy on here.
Brian, I want to talk about Dwayne Casey and his timing in all of this. And, you know, again, Eric and I getting emails, tweets, people saying, you know, okay, it's time with Andrea now, make a move. And I think it's actually a good time for him to be introduced and hooking up with Dwayne Casey, because Dwayne was able to do something with a guy like Dirk.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go with those unfair comparisons of Andrea to Dirk, but the timing in his career, and we know timing's a big part of things, the fact that he's getting a guy who knows how to ride that horse, who's done, who's made that, helped make that transformation before. And then with other young guys like DeMar and, you know, Jonas maybe in a year or maybe this year if you can work the buyout, you know, properly, this is a good time for you to have hired Dwayne Casey for what's ahead.
Well, listen, you know, we're making a shift, you know, from perhaps a non-defensive culture to a defensive culture, and Andrea's either going to get it or not. I think he's already, you know, talked to Dwayne over the phone. They're going to probably get together here in the next, you know, next week if possible. But the bottom line is, I think, you know, you're going to see a different shift in focus on this team. It's not just about Andrea Bargnani. It's not about, you know, the guard penetration that comes from the top. There are things that we're going to address, that Dwayne and his staff will address to improve the defensive performance of this team. The personnel that we have can be adapted and can be, you know, worked with to improve their performance. We're going to go up. The question is, how high from number 30 in the league are we going to go up? How big is that climb going to be? But defense can be coached. Defense is part of is a very important part of the game, but we're not going to lose sight of the fact that you also have to score points to win basketball games. And we've got some good scorers. Obviously, Andrea's in that group, and you know, we're going to see how we can get the most out of him, and that's maximizing his talent. And he clearly understands that there's more that he can deliver on the defensive side of the ball and also in the area or category of rebounding. And that's going to be, again, it's going to be one of the challenges that Dwayne has, and the timing of him coming in at this time with other young developing players, it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we've also got this flexibility to go out and possibly get someone via trade or by free agent signing, it's a good time. It's a nice time to have some flexibility because there's a couple of pieces that we like. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, we're moving along here. So
we only have about 30 seconds left. Did you come close to doing anything else after the 5 pick? I know you'd mentioned the possibility of maybe moving – you know, back a couple of picks depending on what was there, but did you come close to anything else over the course of the night?
You know, again, Jonas was the target. Once we got him and he was on the board at 5, you know, you put away some of those deals. But we do have now some information and some knowledge to base future discussions on with some of the teams that we've been talking about, you know, things tonight. at the same time, we also were looking to maybe acquire a later first-round pick or a second-round pick to address some other things on the roster, or to look or chase certain individual players that we our scouting team had an eye on. But at the end of the day, it got to the point where most of the names that we liked were off the board. Nothing came very close. We probably had an opportunity to get a second-round pick at some point, but again, one or two of the names that we were really targeting were off. So, you know, you put one to bed. We got a nice pick this year. We're going to see how we can improve the basketball team. We're going to keep going forward.